105 Radio. We're talking about No Surrender, which is a play that's on at the Junction on October the 14th. And with me, I have the actress in that play, Emma Spearing. Good morning, Emma.
Hi there, hi.
And Jenny Kulank, who's directing it. Good morning, Jenny.
Good morning.
Nice to have you with us. Well, first of all, I guess, what is the play about?
Well, the play was actually commissioned by Stevenage Borough Council a couple of years ago to commemorate the life of Constance Lytton, who lived nearby Nebworth House. But that really wasn't the focus of it, because it became much more to us. She did get involved in the suffragettes. She has a trajectory of her life story, which is unbelievably fascinating, because she had never had any interest in the suffragette movement as she was getting older. She believed in votes for women, but she certainly did not want to get involved. And in fact, she didn't feel she was able to, really, because she became her mother's carer at home and she was very frustrated with her life. And quite by accident, she fell in with the suffragettes, not really even realising who they were. And gradually, she became more passionate about things. When she was quite young, she said to her mother, what I really want to do is to do something about prisons. And her mother looked at her as if she was slightly mad and said, yes, dear, or something to that effect. And actually, the extraordinary thing is, at the end of her life, she produced a book which came out of all the circumstances of being a suffragette, i.e. being in prison, which was a book called Prisons and Prisoners. And it became an iconic model for prison reform.
So this play is about Constance Lytton's relationship with the suffragette movement told through words and music.
Yes. So a lot of the words that I speak are actually written by Constance herself. So she wrote lots of letters, she wrote her books, and the writer, Ros Connolly, actually drew from all of those resources. So most of the words I speak are actually her own words, which is a pretty special thing. And it just tells her life from probably the age of about 16 all the way up to in her 50s. So I take her through that whole process within an hour, which is quite a feat. We look at her as a young girl, and then we look at her. She had sort of a love affair that didn't necessarily go on to be anything. And then, quite by chance, as Jenny said, she met the militant suffragettes because she was helping to fund a charity. And she didn't realise that the people that ran the charity were actually the militant suffragettes. So she met them and then started a communication with them, which sort of changed her mind. She didn't believe that you needed to be violent in order for women to get the vote. So that's why she disagreed with their militant methods. She disagreed with fighting with police or causing disturbances on the street and things like that. And then she realised that there wasn't really another way. So although she was incredibly shy and nervous and not very very anxious socially, she realised she needed to stand by these women who were being treated so so badly by the police. They were being locked up with really full-on criminals. They weren't being given political prisoner status, and she just thought, well, this isn't okay anymore. I have to stand by them. I have to become one of them. And then from there, she just got her voice, really, and she realised she had to speak for these millions of people that couldn't speak for themselves, that actually, being a woman and a woman of privilege, her letters were published in the papers, whereas the working-class suffragettes, when they went into prison and they experienced horrific things like force-feeding, no one heard their stories. So she found a way, because she realised when she was going to prison, she was actually being given sort of special treatment because they knew she was a lady and she would also be able to write about her experiences. She actually found a way to disguise herself as a working class woman and then have those experiences in prison and then write about those experiences, which included being force-fed, which seriously affected her life.
She was force-fed, yeah. Was she? Yeah, I mean, we you know, recent films and recent documentaries have really highlighted the brutal treatment of suffragettes.
Yeah,
harrowing.
It's quite a powerful scene in the play, because the issues are, you know, how do you do it realistically? How do you, when you don't, you can't.
How do you stage something like
exactly,
that?
How do you how do you convey it? And, you know, having been presented with a script, which is marvellous, it's a wonderful, Roz has really honed things in as to how to do it. How can you go deeper in another way to perform this play? How could you do it? And we've used a lot of imagery, physical imagery, and other ways of doing that to see things visually, but also ways in which we can use music. We have, as I say, we have a violinist, we have piano, and song. And Julia, who is the counterpart to Emma, so the other actress, she fills in quite a lot of those areas. So it's not heavy going, as it might sound, perhaps, when you describe it. But it does. The idea is, I think theatre should make you go away, making you think, or move you, or touch something that you recognise or you don't recognise and want to find more out. And I think this play really does that. And so from our previous experiences, people have stood around talking about it afterwards in a way I haven't always noticed with plays I've been to. So it's been really an interesting experience for us too.
Mm. I think possibly because it's based on a real woman and the real words from her. Emma, you said it's very special saying those words. Yeah. It really must be. I mean, this is almost 100 years on, or
yeah,
perhaps even more.
Absolutely.
Isn't it?
And you know, yeah, I get to say her words and sort of relive her experiences. So, you know, we were talking about the challenge of presenting a force-feeding scene when you've got one actor on stage. And so that, so we've had to really, I guess, you know, as an actor, the idea is that you really try to sink into, what does that make me feel? What do her words written down make me feel in my body? And then how can I sort of present something that makes other people go, oh God, it was that. And I think that we've found something like that. I know that after we toured this a couple of years ago, and at the end people were really shocked actually by that particular scene and sort of said, well, we didn't get it. You know, you can see things on the television, but we didn't quite get it. And it's sort of, it's a very visceral thing, I think, what we've come up with, and they really feel it.
By abstracting something, sometimes if you play it realistically, then people want it to be real. Well, it can't be. So playing it in an abstract way, using sound, using other sorts of imagery, can be more powerful. And I mean, you know, it was powerful. But it's also, I think this play also has resonances for young people as well. And, you know, we're all talking about voting and who votes. Well, we're now here years after Constance Lytton was fighting for the vote with many others. And, you know, there's still loads of people who don't vote. There are still loads of young people who don't feel empowered in lots of different ways, and who find it difficult to just move their lives forward because they don't see the path in front of them like she didn't. But what she did was she jumped into something with both feet, not really knowing where it would take her, but because she felt she'd got involved, and she did. And she ended up writing, I'll actually have it in front of me, a copy, I'm very lucky to have a copy, of the book she wrote after she'd been in prison and been force-fed and was pretty much at death's door. Afterwards, she was bedridden, and she typed with one hand this book, which is called Prisons and Prisoners, and it's all about prison reform. And she really made a difference.
What an extraordinary woman she was. How does it feel for you, women, you know, 100 years on, both of you working on a play like this, going through her words at a time where as women didn't even have the vote?
Well, I mean, there is so many similarities to what is actually happening today. You know, you look at what's going on in politics today, you look at how women's voices are not being heard still. you know, this year has been particularly strong for that. Women's voices are not being heard, men's voices are heard over them. And some of Constance Liston's words actually were about how, you know, women are being abused by men in this, and they do not have a voice because they don't have the vote. And they have to have the vote in order to actually address some of the laws which punish the women but not the men. And she actually, that those are literally her words. And I still feel that, you know, we're a long way from where I hope we will get with gender equality. Yeah, working on this play, I think, at this time is really particularly poignant.
You're nodding there, Jenny.
Yes, I am, because it's there's... When you pick up a script and you start reading it, you think, well, how am I going to do this and what is it saying? And the more you go into it, and especially the way I like working with actors, where we're sharing that experience as well. So we're trying to dig deep and find things. And actually, we do have quite good fun doing some of the things that we're doing. So it's not sort of... But it actually sort of takes your thinking into lots of different directions, and I think it's just a wonderful way of getting over something which might seem, you know, I mean, you know, you put on the television, you might say, oh, I've had enough of this, I don't want to hear any more about, you know, Brexit, and you know, we're all a bit fed up with it. But actually, they're all important things, and we've got to come to terms with. So this is one area that we're trying to sort of dig a little bit deeper, highlight areas, and try and engage people in both emotionally and with their thinking processes to come out with something that they can talk about afterwards. I think if people do that after a play, it's pretty good.
So what kind of age range is this recommended for? So I'm thinking young women in particular might be interested.
I think it's very suitable for 14 plus age range.
14 and upwards?
Yeah, 14 and upwards. Because I think, you know, they're learning, going to be learning about it in history, but it's not a history lesson. So I want them to come to it when about thinking about real people. And they're what they are, those people several hundred years down the line or whenever it might be, you know, they are still those people that need to have a voice.
And I think also a sort of mature younger women as well would be very, you know, like I think, you know, 11, 12 year olds that are switched on would totally get things out of this. And hopefully become inspired to use their voices, you know, to use their voices to speak for people that are not being spoken for. A friend of mine came to watch this a couple of years ago, and it just sort of just turned a switch in her, and she went out to work with the refugees in Calais because she said, actually, I am a person, I have a voice. Why aren't I using my voice to do what I feel like I should be doing? And so now she's gone on this completely different path with her whole life, actually, having supported refugees for the last couple of years.
Wow, well, you can't ask for more than that, no, can you, from drama? So that's No Surrender. It's on October the 14th at The Junction. You can find out more information about it at junction.co.uk/no-surrender. Emma, you were saying, if you go on The Junction website, it's listed under All Events.
All events, yeah, rather than theatre. So if you can't find it under theatre, look under All Events, October the 14th, and you will find it.
Well, good luck. It sounds fantastic. Good luck. I hope it goes really well for you.
Thank you
very much.
Thank you. Cambridge 105 Radio.